Hiding in Thee, and I can't think of a better song, a hymn, that would introduce the message today, because we're going to be turning to the book of Habakkuk, and I'm going to begin a series in this very short book of three chapters that deals with trusting God, hiding in God in troubling times. Hiding in God in troubling times. This little book that we have in the Old Testament shares with us the perspective of a man who's called a prophet, Habakkuk, who cries out to God and says, "How long? How long?" I would imagine that many of us have done the same thing. It doesn't take much to realize that we're living in trying times. We have long-standing tensions with China and Russia. We have a new intensity now with Iran and some of the work that they're doing right now. Coronavirus from China around the world. Chaos at home. But beyond the national and international level, what makes most of our lives most trying are the personal and private things that we're going through at this particular time. In a world like this, many of us find ourselves asking this question, "How long, O Lord? How long will terrorists threaten our nation? How long will our church be persecuted? How long till your people are vindicated? How long will I live with this particular difficult situation?" How long is a biblical question God's people have often asked in trying times, especially in the Psalms. And I've counted at least 11 Psalms that have this same question, how long? They ask God, how long is it going to be? And so it's a biblical question. And into our fears and confusion and the times in which we live, Habakkuk has an amazing, relevant word for us in these days. And it centers on chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. This is the answer to how long. The just shall live by faith. You know, we live in interesting days where the truth of God's word and the acceptance that there is a God is being questioned. Atheism is on the rise around the world. Just as a little as 10 years ago, it only represented 4% of the world's population. Today, it's 16%. It's grown dramatically. God doesn't exist. There was a professor that, this YouTube video has kind of gone viral, but he castigated a young man that was in his class who was a Christian, and he said, "You say there's a God. Have you ever seen your God?" And the young man said, "No." "You ever smelled your God? You ever touched your God? Have you ever heard your God?" And the young man said, "No, sir. I just accept him by faith." And then he said to his professor, he said, "Sir, do you have a brain?" And he said, "Of course I do." He said, "But have you ever touched your brain? Have you ever smelled your brain? Have you ever heard your brain?" And he went down through the five senses, and he said, "So following your line of thinking, if you say that there's no God because we can't empirically sense him or smell him or talk to him using the five senses, sir, you don't have a brain." Professor realized he had stepped into a trap. You see, we accept the existence of God because we can see his handiwork. And we accept, even though I cannot see him, even though I can talk to him, but I don't hear him audibly speaking to me, I see his handiwork in the world today, and I know that he is by faith. When I see all these things happening around the world, and I see missionaries suffering and people dying, I mentioned at the graveside of Aunt Carolyn that it seems like that there are so many of the saints of God that are going home early. Aunt Carolyn lived a full life, but there's so many. A missionary teacher, professor at the Bible College passed away this week at age 41 of COVID. They had tried to work with him. He had all the different medications that they give normally to COVID patients. He had all of that, and he still died. They took him off the ventilator. And here was a young man that had prepared all the way up to a PhD and had only been in ministry there teaching for 10 years. Gone. Gone. 131 pastors in Myanmar, gone. Because of the military taking over and the killing of Christians, but also COVID-related. It seems like so many are being taken home. How long, O Lord, is the question. Let's read the first four verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked. You ever felt that way? Seems like that there's a slow reaction period. Violence and yet no justice. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. We're going to stop there this morning because I want to begin an introduction to this little book. And basically it centers on this thing, how long? How long? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us today from your word. I pray that you would help us to understand that you've given us an answer in your word to all the things that we face in life, to the violence, to the things that we witness because of the pandemic, because of the wicked men that rule in this world, and we have to live with this situation and the chaos that ensues. Dear Father, we often ask you the question, how long till your return? How long will these things be? Help us that you've given us a word, an amazing word. The just shall live by faith. There is no more firm foundation than a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you might teach us that from your word today. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This little book has three chapters. And it contains the important statement that I quoted, which says, the just shall live by faith. And this is repeated several times in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. In Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. The world mocks at that notion. And yet, the world lives by faith. Do you understand that? They believe that somehow everything's going to work out. You talk about faith, but they're believing something that will not work out. It will only work out to destruction in their behalf. The just shall live by faith. But you see, faith has to have an object. And that's where the two ways depart. The broad way's object focuses on self. The narrow way that leadeth unto life focuses on a person other than ourselves. And you can fill in the blank on that, right? Who is that person? It's Jesus Christ. The world lives by faith. Oh, it takes a great deal of faith to believe in evolution. It takes a great deal of faith to believe that the government is the answer to all of our problems. I mean, all you have to do is spend 1 week looking at how well the government does with problems, and you realize very quickly, you have to have a lot of faith to believe that that's going to be the answer to all of our troubles. Remember how they said that Obamacare was going to be the answer to all of our health problems? And then they've been talking about this bill that was just passed, how it's going to lift America and infrastructure, and it's going to change the way we do business in America. I doubt so, because none of the other previous bills have done so. Things wear out, things break. And I want to tell you something, folks. We need to understand from God's Word that His answer is not pie in the sky, it is what reality is. The just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop the believer from thinking about how long. How long, O Lord? The righteous perish on the earth. How long, O Lord? How long will it be before the trump sounds and you take us to be with you? We have no idea of the timing. But we need to keep our hearts and minds focused on the one who will deliver. And that is Jesus Christ. Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah have a great deal in common. Each one gives a different facet of God's dealings with mankind. They show how the government of God is integrated into the government of men as well as the individual, even when we don't see it. And this is the point. You know, Daniel learned this lesson. Dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, he dealt with several different administrations, but he had to deal with Nebuchadnezzar. He had to deal with Belshazzar. And in all of those dealings, God was working. You remember at the fiery furnace? They were throwing three Hebrew children that refused to bow when the music was played. And they took them up there. The men that carried them up there all died, burned to death. And the three men walked into the flames and they began to say, "Lo, we see four." And the fourth one, isn't it interesting how they described it? Looks like the Son of God. And they were walking around in the flames and they could see the images. And then they came forth. And the Bible says very clearly that when they came forth, there was no smell of smoke on them. God's government overruled man's government. We see this pictured over and over again in the Bible. And we may think the government is going to be our undoing. We're not going to be able to function our Christian school in the future because of the government actions. We're not going to be able to reach the lost. We're not going to be able to do this, that, or the other. I'm here to tell you something. In every situation in the past, God has always worked and His Word has always been carried forth. And people have been saved and lives have been ministered to. You see, God's government can overrule man's government. But the question still lingers, how long? How long is this going to be? Another similarity between the books is that they were roughly from the same time period. In fact, they were all contemporaries. Though similar, though, these books are also different from each other. Nahum deals with a Gentile world power, Nineveh. Zephaniah ministered to Judah and emphasizes the love of God from God's perspective. And Habakkuk ministered to Judah and emphasized what he perceived as the injustices of God not acting in behalf of His people. Now, let me say that again. The emphasis of this little book is that Habakkuk says, God, you're being unjust because you're not helping your people during this time. But the truth was, God was working all along. He was working all along. The problem is we don't see it many times. We don't witness it. We don't understand what He's doing. But that does not mean that God is not working. Habakkuk was a gutsy prophet. He was a gutsy prophet. He prophesied 2,600 years ago in the generation leading up to the three Babylonian invasions of Judah. The southern kingdom of God's people. The northern kingdom had already been conquered by Assyria in 722 B.C. Now, a century later, the Assyrian Empire is waning. Babylon is the big powerhouse at this particular time. In 612, the Babylonians conquered Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which had ruled over God's people from a distance for a century. In 609 B.C., Judah's young, promising king named Josiah was killed in a battle against Egypt. And finally, in 605 B.C., the Babylonians finished their full conquest of the Assyrians and that same year marched to Jerusalem for the first of what would be three invasions of the holy city, culminating in 586 when the last group is carried off, and then all the crippled and the elderly were left behind in Jerusalem. That was all that was left. The rest of them were hauled into captivity. Before these invasions came, though, God revealed ahead of time to the prophet Habakkuk what he was going to do. And the revelation comes not when Habakkuk is minding his own business, but when he is complaining to God about why all these things are happening. He doesn't understand what God's doing. He doesn't understand that this is going to be the judgment against Judah that begins 70 years of captivity. He doesn't understand that, so he's complaining to God. How long, O Lord, are you going to allow this to happen? It's very much like Job. Job questioned God's justice, and Habakkuk is gutsy about it as he complains. And God makes it the occasion of revealing his plans to Habakkuk, as well as very graciously putting him in his place. By the way, Christian, you better thank God when God puts you in your place, because that means he's actively loving you. I think we probably could all show our hands as God's put us in our place many times. Well, I could give you time after time the Lord has put me in my place and said, you're going to let me rule? You're going to let me take charge here? Oh, how we like to put our fingers into it, like to meddle with it. I've used this illustration before, but when Roger and I were growing up, we loved antique Model T cars. We used to build them. We had a whole top of our dresser covered with Model T's and Duesenbergs and all kinds of neat cars and so forth like that. But Roger was the intelligent one. His wheels all rolled. Todd, Dumbmeister, had glued his wheels on. I didn't bother to read the directions, all right? They were supposed to pop the wheels onto the little axles, and then you could roll them. Roger's cars all rolled, and he would get on the floor, and he would go with his cars. And I would have to make mine hover because my wheels didn't roll. I knew better than the directions. I got my tester's tube out of glue, and I globbed it on. You know, tester's glue was the worst about little strings. You know, when you glued something, it had little strings, and you had to come back later and snip them off because they would glue like a spider's web. That's what my cars looked like, a big spider's web. I got them on there. They were there. The wheels were there. They were never leaving, but they didn't roll. Now, what was that? If I'd have just studied the directions, and not only studied them, but followed the directions, my wheels would have rolled too. So I got smart. We bought model airplanes, biplanes. We made a few of those, and my propeller turned. You know why? I'd learned my lesson. Not only did the propeller turn, but the wheels rolled. All right? Because I paid attention to the instructions. Now, I want to just say something right now. The problems that you experience in this world mostly are self-inflicted, and it's because you're not following God's directions. God, when He made us, gave us the book of instructions. How many of you purchased an appliance recently? Okay? We had to purchase a new washing machine. And I began to realize that the tub was not turning. And I said, oh no, something's wrong. But you see, the directions on the back said, remove the plastic pins that are holding the tub in place. Whoa, wow. I pulled those out, each one of them, four of them, and all of a sudden it freely turned, you see. How important are directions? If I had not done that, plugged it in, all right, honey, it's ready to go. Hit the button, and then there'd been smoke, belt slipping, all kinds of stuff, all because I had not read the directions. How important are directions? Your eternal future rests upon it. The directions given by God about life and how to receive eternal life. You see, Habakkuk was wrapped up in the moment, and that's where we all live. We all do this. We look around us and say, I just cannot believe what's going on. How many of you have said that in recent time? I just can't believe what's going on in our world today. We've got hypersonic missiles going around the earth. We've got ships taunting American warships in the Pacific. We have got rockets going up from the earth, and we've got people in them that are looking and they said, oh, wow, this is wonderful in the darkness. And look what we can do. We can fire a missile and we can be inside of it looking out the window. We've got all these things going on and the conflicts taking place around the world. And it's easy to set the instruction book aside and try to figure out what we can do to stop it. There is nothing other than to follow the instruction book, which says, the just shall live by their faith. The key difference, folks, is who's the object of your faith. Who's the object of your faith this morning? Is the object of your faith money? Is the object of your faith somebody other than Jesus Christ? Is the object of your faith some kind of system that you've come on your own to believe in? If that's the case, you're in deep trouble this morning. You're in very deep trouble. You're heading to a lake of fire which burns forever and ever in judgment. But the just shall live by their faith in Jesus Christ. The only reason that I know that I'm on my way to heaven is because of the instruction book that tells me that God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, that I may know that I have eternal life. The Bible says that. A lot of people question that. I don't know if I can believe that. Well, think about what you do believe in. How do you believe in that? Think about what you're believing in this morning. What are you resting in? What are you trusting in? If you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're trusting in failure. You're trusting in failure. Oh, we live in a world that thinks they have the answer. Thinks we have the answer to everything. Oh, science. Science is going to be what's going to help us to get over this thing. We can live, when science finally does its work, we'll live to be 200 years old. All right, now let's think about living to 100 right now. I've said this before, but I have no interest. I have absolutely no interest. You will not hear this man say, I want to live to be 100. Why? So people can push you around in a wheelchair all day? People tend to all your health needs all day long? Is that why? You see, folks, we're not doing well at 100, and we think that science is going to take us to 200? That's not the answer. It's not the answer. The answer is faith in Jesus Christ to prepare you for the future, to be delivered into His presence, to go to heaven. I mentioned this, I believe at the graveside, that there are a lot of people that get preached into heaven after they die. But the reality is they didn't make it there because they weren't trusting in Jesus Christ. They hadn't exercised faith in Jesus Christ. The object of your faith is the difference between an eternity in damnation or an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. It's the object of your faith. I want us to look very quickly here in the remaining time at the cry of Habakkuk. He begins by saying, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Interesting. A burden. The word burden in the Hebrew is the idea of this overwhelming weight of responsibility. This overwhelming issue that's being dealt with. This overwhelming question that doesn't seem to have an answer to it. That's the idea of burden. We've all experienced burdens in life. Some people have health burdens. Some people have financial burdens. Some people have all educational burdens. They have all kinds of different burdens that we bear in life. The Bible says that we're to cast our burden upon the Lord. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. What are we to do with our burden? We're to cast it to the Lord. He had a burden that was given to him to deliver his word, God's word. But he begins by complaining about the circumstances of life. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. God, look what I'm going through! Have you ever said that to him? As if God doesn't know. Lord, you're showing me violence and contention and trouble and sorrow. Why, Lord? In reality, we shouldn't be asking why. In reality, we said, what should I be learning, dear Father, from what you're allowing me to go through? What should I be learning? That's a tough question to ask, isn't it? We would much rather ask why. Because we think we're legitimate in our reasoning of why God should be doing this rather than what He's allowing. We want Him to be delivering whenever He's not delivering. We want Him to be doing some miraculous event when He's not performing a miraculous event of deliverance. Now, sometimes God in His mercy does. Sometimes God in His mercy will bring about a remarkable recovery for somebody. But then there are times in which He does not. Has God failed? No, He hasn't failed. God has not failed. You see, the weaknesses of life and the frailties of our bodies and the sicknesses that we go through are a result of the curse. And we have to look inward on that one. All right? We have to look inward. We're born with a sin nature. We are a product of the curse. And God sent His Son to deliver us from that. But one day, we'll be fully delivered from all the things of this world and all the troubles and difficulties and cancers and sicknesses and strokes and heart attacks and go down the list of all the possibilities. We're going to be in the Lord's presence with a brand new body that was promised by God. But we, in our finite time frame that we love to live in, sometimes say, why, Lord? How long? We need to say, Lord, as I journey by faith, teach me what I need to know. And that's where Habakkuk ends up at the end of the book. And I don't want to share the end of the book yet. How many of you like to cheat and go to the end of the book and find out what happened? Okay? Cheaters. Yeah. I'm going to skip all the in-between stuff. I'm just going to go right to the end. I'm going to see whether, Natty Bumpo gets the girl in the Deer Slayer. All right? Jump down to the end. I have to tell you, I did that. If you've read that 565-page book, The Deer Slayer by James Fenimore Cooper, and he is, you talk about verbose, he can turn a wilderness scene into 16 pages of description. All right? It's just like, let's move on with the story, please. So I jumped to the end to find out whether Natty Bumpo got the girl. And he did. Okay? Kind of ruined everything that happened before because there were a lot of twists and turns and so forth like that. When I went back and reread it, I said, woo, I missed a lot. Well, we're not going to jump to the end. But I want to tell you this. The Lord is most gracious with His servant. He's most gracious because He answers his question. How long? The just shall live by faith. That's the answer. Now, the heart of God's answer is trusting Him in trying times. That's what by faith means. It means trusting Him in trying times. How easy is it to trust God in trying times? For us human beings, our frail natures, it's not easy. Some people seem to be better at it than others, but for the most part, we fail because we don't like trouble. Nobody gets up in the morning and said, "Oh, beautiful day, trouble-free day is in my pathway." All right? I want to tell you something. You get up in the morning and you go and open up the drawer and the toothpaste is empty. All right? Then you go get a new toothpaste. Where's the tube of toothpaste? My wife knows the list. I go down, I can't find this and I can't find that. And you know, you go to the deodorant and the deodorant's empty. And you go down the list of all the possible things that can happen. Boy, this is going to be a great day. Can't find anything. This is wonderful. Phone call comes in. Power's off up at the school. And you go, what are we going to do? You know? And it just seems like everything piles on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. Some of you are already asleep. Okay. You got 2 minutes. Stay with me. We allow the minutiae of life to take our focus off the one who is macro in his vision. You got to look to the Lord and realize while we're here on this earth, we're going to deal with trouble. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have to face people that we don't like to deal with. We're going to have to put up with situations and have to deal with situations that involve people that are angry and mean and nasty. That's the world. That's the way we live in this world. Unless you go out in the middle of Nevada and buy you 1 acre of land and build a fort around it and live there for the rest of your life where you don't have to see people, you're still going to have termites eating away on your little log wall that you built. You're still going to have rattlesnakes. They're going to work their way in. You're still going to have to deal with the wild animals that are out there. Yeah, well, I thought I was getting away from all our problems. Well, you carry them with you. Because you see, we are problems. We are trouble. We're our own worst enemy. The how long is a question that's asked by the saints. As I said, 11 different psalms address this question of how long. How long, O Lord? It's a legitimate question. But are you going to allow God to give you the legitimate answer and accept it? The just shall live by faith. You just have to trust the Lord. That's the key to the truth of this passage of Scripture. And so we're just introducing here what this interaction between Habakkuk and God going back and forth here with these questions. How long, O Lord? How come you're not answering prayer? I'm asking you for deliverance and you're sending me trouble. And God's just going to slowly put his arm around Habakkuk. And now listen, son, you got some lessons to learn about me. Are you going to listen to what I have to say? Because I'll share with you what I'm doing. You see, I'm bringing judgment against Judah because Judah refused to follow the instruction book. And now it's judgment time. I've got a greater work that I'm doing. You don't understand it right now, but I'm telling you, I'm doing a work of chastisement against my people because they would not follow my words. And now I have to bring judgment upon them. But in 70 years, I'm going to bring them out, and I'm going to let them go back and rebuild the wall, rebuild the temple, and I will bring them back into Jerusalem where my people should be. That is my promise. Can you trust God, even though you know the answer is 70 years down the road and you won't be there? Can you trust God to do that? That's the whole issue at heart here in the book of Habakkuk. Trusting God, even though you will never see it come to pass. It's still years down the road. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, the testimony of this book is so clear. We all exercise faith every day. Those that are lost exercise faith. They're believing certain things to be true, even though they have no tangible reason to believe it. There's nothing that indicates it will happen. And yet they still believe. They believe things that are not true. They believe things that are blatantly not true. The object of their faith is failure. But Lord, we have Thee. We have the true and living God. We have Jesus Christ, Your Son. And we are called as righteous ones to believe, to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the how longs of life. Dear Father, if there's one here without the Savior, Lord, I pray that they would stop trusting in religion. Stop trusting in non-religion, if that's the case. Stop trusting in the things of this world that fail us every day, and place their faith and trust in the unchanging Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Draw precious souls unto Yourself, dear Father. And I pray that You'd encourage Your saints, because many times we ask that question, how long? How long will the violence continue? How long will the contention and strife continue? How long, O Lord, until Your coming? Lord, help us just to live each and every day by our faith in Thee. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.